Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn on this 31st of October 2015 as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or go to my Instagram at Rillo Gerald Quinn. A busy program for a busy weekend of sports. A lot going on in the world of sports this weekend with the baseball and the football, and of course, and also a little horse racing with the Breeders' Cup as well. But we begin in the football capital. College football capital, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Temple University, at least for today. The Temple Owls hosting the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame in a matchup of two ranked teams. Temple, of course, coming in, and depending on which poll, 21 to 22, Notre Dame ranked in the top 10, ranked number 9 in the country, still with an outside chance at a BCS playoff berth. But forget about Notre Dame for a second. This is all about Temple. And I'm telling you right now, if you would have told me, like, I never, ever thought that I would ever lead a program talking about Temple football. Ever. Okay. You told me, you know, when I started this show back in 2008, you told me that I would lead a program talking about Temple. It would be, you know, if the basketball team made it to the Final Four. Or if, you know, we were paying tribute to John Chaney. Something in terms of that. Temple football? No. Not in a million years. I went to a Temple football game, my one and only Temple football game I went to, and, you know, not counting the couple of tailgates that I've been to at homecoming a few years back. Went to a Temple football game back in 2000. I was like a junior in college. And you know, they were playing Miami team, a loaded Miami team. I mean, Miami team that had, you know, we're talking Santana Moss, Andre Johnson, Najee Davenport, Clinton Portis. Yeah, that team that finished second in the country and probably should have played for the national championship that year and would go on to win the championship the following year. And they beat Temple 45-17. To nobody's surprise. You know, Temple was, you know, outclassed, never even should have been in the Big East. And, you know, fell asleep in the game. And, like, imagine going to a football game and going to sleep. I mean, that's how bad the game was. And Miami toyed with them. They toyed with Temple that game. They could have been much worse. I say that to look at those two programs right now. Who would you rather be, Miami or Temple? And without question, you must rather be Temple, as considering where Miami is at right now, coming off a 58-0 drubbing at the hands of the Clemson Owl Tigers. And to say that you'd rather be Temple than Miami, you know, give Al Golden, who you know, who's connected to both programs. Of course, you know, fired from Miami recently and also coached at Temple. Give Al Golden a ton of credit behind this. Again, I know the coach, Matt Rhule, has kind of finished the job, and, you know, Temple's going to probably be a 10-win team this year, has an outside chance of playing at our New Year's Day Bowl. They will play in the bowl game without question. They're already bowl eligible. But this weekend, I mean, this, you know, like Tony Dungy built the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and John Gruden finished the job by winning a championship. But we all know it does not, that Super Bowl does not happen without Tony Dungy. Kind of feel like Al Golden has kind of been, you know, sort of a forgotten man in terms of where Temple is at right now. Listen, he took over this program, you know, following guys like Dickerson and Bobby Wallace. There's some awful coaches at Temple during over the course of my, you know, that over the course of a, you know, 2015, 20, 30 year period. I mean, it's just some horrible coaches. And they had, you know, the thing about Temple is you look at the NFL rosters, you look at how many players from Temple that have made it to the NFL, it's more than you think. It's more than you think. I mean, you're talking to guys like Stacey Mack. Raheem Brock has won a championship. Dan Klecko has won three Super Bowls, okay? So they've had talent, NFL caliber talent, Paul Palmer back in the day. But, you know, coaching, you want to say lack of resources, you want to say, you know, being in the Big East, there was a boatload of things that were holding the program back. Now, but again, Al Golden turned this thing around and had put it in the direction that it is right now. He should be given a tremendous amount of credit for that. And, you know, now you have a guy in Matt Rhule who has just taken it to another level, and it'd be very interesting to see how long Matt Rhule sticks around. If I'm Matt Rhule, you know, learn from Al Golden. That next job you take, make sure the grass is greener on the other side. Because, like, right now, if you're Al, you know, Al Golden could have at least, you know, a stadium, probably a stadium built with his name on it right now if he had stayed at Temple. But understandably, took the Miami job with all the talent that they had, you know, that they had as far as being able to recruit and what have you in the state of Florida. But right now, Temple stands as, you know, the center of a college football day in which they are the, you know, Temple is the attraction right now. You know, you have a couple games, no real games of note in college football. Next week you have the big one with Alabama, LSU. You know, the Georgia Florida game doesn't have juice on it because Georgia's not any good this year. And maybe it will decide at the SEC East if you're an SEC fanatic. But in terms of the big picture, in terms of college football, Temple Notre Dame is the game without question. And again, I never thought that would occur, seeing the Temple Owls be the center of the football, center of attention of the college football world, at least for a day. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. When we return, we'll have today's headlines and much, much more on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk. We'll be right back. As always, you can go to iTunes.apple.com and look up 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn to review, rate, and review the show. Comments are definitely appreciated. We prefer fives, but we'll take fours and some threes. Twos and ones, I guess feedback is feedback, but we appreciate any comments that you have about the program. We look forward to hearing from you. Again, go to iTunes.apple.com for that and look up 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. Cyril Gerald Quinn, we are on iTunes. You can catch up on about 300 of our shows should be on iTunes. So any archive programs that you may have missed or want to listen to certainly will be on there as well. Saturday morning headlines. Pierre Garçon is going to sue, along with a couple other players, going to sue the NFL in a class action lawsuit against FanDuel for use of likeness and images. Listen, I'm not saying that – I'm not defending FanDuel for using players' images or likenesses in commercials or advertising. But let's keep it 100 for a second here. Whether it's FanDuel, DraftKings, or any other fantasy football site, okay, of note, and that's popular – They don't need any NFL player to draw attention to themselves or to garner any type of popularity. I mean, they just don't need them. I haven't heard one person say, "I'm playing fantasy football because I saw a picture of Pierre Garçon." I've yet to hear that. I mean, fantasy football right now it sells itself. It's like heroin in the 70s. Okay, it's like DirecTV. There are certain things in life that sell themselves. Hotcakes. All right, fantasy football does not need pictures or images of NFL players to sell fantasy football. They just don't. It is a $1 billion enterprise right now. Billions, not millions, billions with a B. Now, maybe some people close to Pierre Garçon, agents, lawyers, yes men, whoever, got into his ear and said, "Hey, maybe we could make some extra change, pocket money on the side for retirement, things of that nature." But, good luck with that. But let's not confuse this with fantasy football needing anything of that nature from the NFL or from NFL players. They don't. They don't need them to sell their product. Their product, people are, fantasy football has just taken over. The NFL Red Zone exists because of fantasy football. It's not to update you on scores. It is for fantasy football, red zone scoring. You do the math. Ohio State starting quarterback JT Barrett arrested this early this morning for OVI, operating a vehicle while intoxicated, is indefinitely suspended. I don't know how long he'll be suspended. This obviously doesn't come at a good time for Ohio State. I know they're on a bye this week, but they were playing great football. It was clear that the offense was in much better shape with him running it, even though Cardale Jones might be a better pro prospect. Clearly, that offense was a better fit for JT Barrett. It'll be very interesting to see how long he's suspended. If you're Ohio State, the only thing you say is at least he didn't come during Michigan State or Michigan Week. He's going to play in both of those games. I don't see, Urban Meyer hitting him with the hammer and saying, "Hey, you're done for the season." That's not going to happen. But 19, 20-year-old kids drinking, driving, it's nothing new, you know, nothing out of ordinary. I mean, grown men in the NFL, NBA, it happens all the time. But, again, if you're an Ohio State fan, the best thing that happened out of this, the best thing to come out of this is the fact that it did not happen during a Michigan or Michigan State week. Because I would have been very interested to see if Urban Meyer had the goal to suspend him if this happened during during Michigan State, during the week of a Michigan State game or a Michigan game. Very interesting. I don't think he would, but he does not have to make that decision, as, again, J.T. Barrett will probably miss one game, if that. I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't miss any games, if he wasn't just suspended this week from practice or something like that. But he'll probably miss a game, which he can afford to miss, considering that I don't know who Ohio State plays next. I think they might play Minnesota, but it's not a big game. So we'll see what happens with that. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn. Coming up, the Mets stay alive, and Captain Kurt, and much, much more on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn. We'll be right back. Is your call number in this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn. The Mets get on the board last night, 9-3 over the Royals in a game that, of course, they had to have to avoid, you know, the inevitable, and that's really probably been a sweep at the hands of the Kansas City Royals. And not only did they beat the Royals last night, they sent a message. And, of course, I'm talking about the 98-mile-an-hour fastball that almost took Escobar's head off, opening pitch, opening batter, leadoff batter, by the one Noah Syndergaard, who got the win and really showed you a lot last night, as he almost was knocked out of the game in the second inning, you know, kind of settled down, retired at 1.12 straight. Got 16 swings and misses, which was important. This is very important because Kansas City is such a great contact hitting team, and they don't swing and miss. And, you know, the message was, listen, we're here to play baseball. Like, if we're going to go down, we're going to go down fighting. Kansas City, you know, you're too comfortable at the plate. You're knocking our guys around left and right as far as our pitchers. We're going down swinging, like it or not. Kansas City, of course, Mike Moustakas got all up in arms about it, yelling from the dugout. And if I'm a New York Met, I love it. I want them upset. I want them uncomfortable because they were just too comfortable. I mean, Kansas City was even going back to the Toronto series. They were in such great offensive rhythm. I'm like, is somebody gonna brush them back? I mean, I was waiting for somebody to brush them back at a certain point. I mean, at a certain point, you got to hit the bully back in the face. And I think the Mets, again, the Mets sent a message. We are here to stay. You're going to have to beat us. We're not going to lay down. We don't care about, you know, all the offensive players you have. We don't care about your pitchers throwing at, you know, 100 miles an hour. We have pitchers that can throw 95 to 100 miles an hour too. So I thought the Mets, even being down 2-0, were not out of the series. They easily could have won game one in that, you know, that classic extra inning game where Familia, of course, blew it with the Mets being up 4-3. Game two, it happens. You know, sometimes you just get outplayed. Kansas City's offense knocked them around, and the Mets couldn't hit. But this is, you know, if you're a Mets fan, you have to love this game. You got David Wright going. Granderson continues to be just tremendous. He's really, Daniel Murphy, I know Daniel Murphy has been off the charts with, you know, homer in six straight games. But really, all around, Granderson has been the Mets' best player. You look at some of the defensive players he's made, the stolen bases, the key hits. I can make a case that Granderson has been the MVP of the Mets during the postseason. All right, you really can make that case. Got another big hit yesterday. Yeah, Juan Uribe, who's been known for getting big hits in the postseason, especially when he was with the Giants back in 2012, he got a big hit. You know, got a big RBI hit. So the offense really exploded last night for the Mets. And another thing for the Mets have really gotten to Kansas City's number two guy in Kelvin Herrera. They have knocked that guy around. Before this series, you know, that guy was untouchable as a setup man, for Wade Davis and Madsen. As a matter of fact, people were saying, you know, why is Herrera not the eighth inning guy instead of Ryan Madsen? The Mets have lit him up in this series, and that could bode well for them moving forward in the series. If Kansas City is counting on him to get key outs in different situations. But again, if you're a Mets fan, this game tonight to me will decide the series. If the Mets win this game, I think the Mets can win this game in six. To be honest with you, remember they win this game, it'll be 2-2. And then Kansas City will have some question marks because Edmundson Vasquez will be scheduled to pitch game five. That's not 100% certain, but there are reports out there that he will probably pitch game five. Remember, his father passed away during the course of game one. And many controversy with people, with him not knowing. His wife, of course, did not want him to know until after the game. Fox knew, but kept it a secret. And there were a couple people getting on Fox about not telling him, and said, which was stupid, by the way. But, again, who knows where his head is at? Like, you know, guy's father just had passed. And all of a sudden, you're going to ask him to pitch a game five and a possibly tie, either a closeout game or a series tied at two. And then the Mets will have Harvey, which you have to get him advanced. Harvey at home in that stadium. So this series could change very quickly. I mean, 2-0 could be 3-2 Mets favor before you blink come Monday morning. All right? But to me, this game right here, tonight's game will decide the series. If Kansas City goes up 3-1, it's a wrap. There's no way the Mets are going to beat Kansas City three straight times with game six and seven being in Kansas City. It's not going to happen. But if the Mets can find a way to win this game, then we have a whole entirely different ball game. Then I think we favor the Mets. Because think about it. Think about how it sets up. Mets win this game. You're talking about Harvey, game five, DeGrom, game six, and Syndergaard, game seven. Okay, versus Edmundson, Vasquez, Cueto, and I would think probably Young or Escobar in game seven. I don't even know who the game seven star would be for Kansas City, to be honest with you. And again, if I'm Kansas City, I don't know if I'm using Escobar. Ventura. I'm not. I don't like that guy right now. Has been has not been good in the postseason. I don't know if I'm using Ventura again in a starting situation over the course of this series. I don't know if I will. Maybe I come out of the bullpen possibly to get it out for an inning, extra inning game. But I think, I mean, Ventura has not been good in the postseason. So I don't think that you will see him if there's a Game 7. Again, I'm way ahead of myself here, but I don't think that you'll see Ventura in a Game 7. 347-215-6180 is your call number. We're going to return Redskins in a bye week and a early candidate for Game of the Year in the association. We'll talk about that and much, much more in this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Joe Quinn. We'll be right back. After the 11 o'clock hour on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Joe Quinn, outside of the Temple Notre Dame game, really kind of a get by weekend in terms of college football. In terms of college football this Saturday, not a lot of big games. Georgia, Florida probably will decide the SEC East, especially if Florida wins. That probably will, you know, the winner of that game will probably be in the driver's seat to win the SEC East, which is a big deal because, you know, SEC championship, you would think SEC championship could have a major impact in terms of the college football playoff system, playoff Final Four. The bottom line about college football right now is this. There are about six or seven teams who control their own destiny. Ohio State, I would say Michigan State, Baylor, TCU, Stanford, Clemson. I'm leaving out somebody. That would be it. I think those teams are, Alabama and LSU, of course. Apologies to my SEC fans. Alabama and LSU, I would say, is, and maybe even Florida. Like, if Florida runs the table, gets the SEC championship, and beats either Alabama or LSU, how are you going to keep them? How are you going to keep a one-loss Florida team out of the playoff picture? Like, I think Florida, to a lesser extent, controls their own destiny as well. It's going to be very interesting to look at these non-Power 5 teams that are ranked, whether it be Memphis, Houston, and Temple, to see how much they impact the playoffs and could they possibly get into the playoffs. I mean, I'm joking about Temple being on the national stage again. If Temple wins this game against Notre Dame, having already beaten Penn State, which has kind of salvaged the season since losing to Temple a bit, Temple is not out of the realms of possibility yet that a undefeated Temple team could possibly make it to the playoffs. It's not crazy. If they beat Notre Dame and then go and beat a ranked team in their conference, remember that they have a lot going for them as far as that conference goes, having two other teams that are ranked. They beat two of those teams. They have a very good chance. There is a very good possibility that they could possibly play for a playoff spot. But again, getting way ahead of ourselves as far as that goes. Temple, of course, has a bit of business to take care of tonight, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Again, they're about 7 or 8 teams that control their own destiny in terms of the college football, in terms of for the rest of the college football season. 347-215-6180 is called number. Redskins, of course, have a bye this week and a much needed bye, as you know, need to get some guys healthy, and you need all the time in the world to prepare for the New England Patriots, who went to 7-0 Thursday night against a Miami team that was playing well. But right now, I mean, New England is rolling right now offensively. I still don't think they're going undefeated, though. 15-1, 14-2 is looking very much like possibly, but I would lean towards 15-1. Be honest with you, I looked at the schedule. I can't see two losses. They still have to play Denver, still have to play at Miami, still have to play at the Jets. I don't see two losses on that schedule. They still have the Giants. I think that right now I would say New England probably will go 15-1 if I had to guess the schedule. I thought coming into the season, I thought after the first, you know, last week, a couple weeks ago, maybe like probably 13-3, 14-2. But now I'm leaning towards a 15-1 season. You know, I don't think that the thing about it is, let me show you how bad the AFC East is, how bad and how just, you know, suspect the AFC is in general. I don't think this is not a dominant New England team. Like, they have a great offense. We know what Brady is. They don't overwhelm you with their defense. And to be honest with you, the offensive line right now is not, it's okay at best. You can get Brady, you have any type of pass rush, you can get to Tom Brady with any type of pass rush. So it is, again, this is not the 2007 New England Patriots, but the bottom line is they might not have to be the 2007 New England Patriots to possibly go undefeated for the regular season or to possibly just go 15-1. But again, the Redskins will need all the preparation in the world to deal with that New England offense. Again, the most important thing to me for the Redskins is having guys get healthy, whether it's D'Angelo Hall, Culliver, Kerrigan, Deshaun Jackson. They have to get those guys healthy moving into the next part of the season. If you're the Redskins, probably should be where you're at 3-4, no question. At 3-4, it's really not a game that you look back and you shake your head saying, "Hey, you should have won. You blew that game." I'm not even gonna say that even about the Atlanta game. I mean, remember, people came in to the Atlanta game thinking that Atlanta was just gonna destroy them. They could have won the game, but I'm not gonna say they should have won it. It was on the road. At the time, an undefeated Atlanta team that's probably gonna be in the playoffs this year. So the Redskins are, you know, a 3-4 football team. Now, you know, Kirk Cousins comes off a performance where, to me, you know, if you're a Redskins fan, you don't think that he is the guy on this team. Not the guy moving forward for 3 or 4 years in the future. I'm talking about the guy for this Redskins team in terms of being their number one quarterback. Then I don't know what you're watching. You don't want to see Colt McCoy. You, of course, don't want to see RG3. There's no question, unless he gets hurt, that Kirk Cousins will be the quarterback for the rest of the 2015 season. 2016, who knows? 2015, Kirk Cousins is your quarterback. And again, the numbers will not blow you away. 9 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, has completed 68% of his passes. But look at the game-winning drives against Tampa, against Philadelphia, the drive to tie the game against Atlanta. Those are things that were not happening last year with either RG3 or a Colt McCoy, or Kirk Cousins, for that matter. So from that standpoint, you have to say that Cousins has improved some. Again, is it enough to think that he's your franchise quarterback? No. But he's a better quarterback now than he was last year. And again, I like Kirk Cousins. I like Kirk Cousins getting fired up after the game. because coming into this season, I really questioned his confidence and that he had in himself and that he had in himself as a quarterback. To be honest with you, he would get down, throw a pick, and he would be sometimes going to the tank in games last year. So I'm not sitting up here, you know, being an apologist for Kirk Cousins like Gruden was after the Giant game, excuse me, after the Jet game. But there's no question that he is the guy on this football team. And the offensive line is blocking for him compared to past years where it seemed like, you know, defensive linemen lived in the backfield with RG3 or even Colt McCoy. You have players speak, you know, whereas Pierre Garçon who are speaking up for him. And, of course, he has the 1,000%, not 100% backing, but the 1,000% backing of one Jay Gruden. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll get into some NBA, and also we'll still have NFL picks on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Joe Quinn. We'll be right back. Last night they played, right now in the early season, the game of the year against a improved Orlando Magic team. I know Orlando's 0-2, but look at who they lost to, losing to the Wizards and losing to Oklahoma City. They both could have won both games. Orlando could make the playoffs this year. It would not surprise me if they made the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. They have a lot of young talent: Oladipo, Tobias Harris, Vucevic. I like Alfred Payton a lot. I think he's a kind of like a Rondo type player, probably without all the nonsense. Aaron Gordon, athleticism. There's a good, tremendous athlete. Hopefully he can stay healthy this year. I like Orlando's team, and they're going to be much better coach with Scott Skiles at the helm versus Jock Vaughn. Like that team a lot. Should have won last night. Had Oklahoma City was up like 18 points entering the fourth quarter. Oklahoma City outscored them like 42-24. Then you had a bunch of just crazy shots, bank shot three-pointers, the buzzer beater three-pointers to tie the game. Westbrook hits a wild 40-foot shot from almost half court. Oladipo hit a crazy three to tie the game and send it into the second overtime. And then you have Westbrook and Durant just take over in the second overtime, and Oklahoma City wins 139-136. 91 points between Westbrook and Durant, 48 for Durant for Westbrook, 43 for Durant. Again, that duo, that's why here with my pick to win the championship. If Durant can stay healthy, that duo, along with Ibaka and some of the other pieces has, is a scary for any team. I mean, and they match up well against any team in the league. Also last night, Detroit stays undefeated. Andre Drummond, who I thought would be a breakout player this year, especially without Greg Monroe on the team, 20-20. They're 3-0. You see Cleveland kind of send Miami a little message with LeBron going for 29. I'd be concerned if I'm a Cleveland fan about LeBron's back. I mean, that is a legit issue. I know LeBron wants to put up a front, wants to play all 82 games. Sounds great. Looks stupid. To be honest with you, that's like if I'm David Blatt and the rest of the Cleveland organization, he's playing no more than 70 games this year. No more than 70 games. You're saving him for the playoffs. So you had that. Lakers getting embarrassed. Kobe, to a point to where Kobe even says, got to back off, let the young guys, be at the forefront. Which is, I don't take it as I'm going to retire after this year. I'm taking that as, these guys have to go out there and play some ball, and you have to see what they have. The most important thing about the Lakers season is going to be the development of Randall, Russell, and Clarkson. That's what you're looking for in the Lakers season. Forget about the playoffs. That's insane. Forget about everything. Even to a lesser extent, forget about Kobe. Just want to keep Kobe healthy. But it's all about the development of those three players, if you're a Laker fan. I've never seen a team who hasn't won anything be as despised and hated by everyone as the Los Angeles Clippers. I mean, the Clippers, the Clippers do something to tick somebody off, it seems, seemingly by the game. I mean, the Clippers annoy everybody. I mean, you had DeMarcus Cousins after the opening game against the Clippers a couple nights ago, just come out and says, I hate him. And I just, that's all there is to it. And like, the Clippers annoy coaches, whether it's Terry Stotts at Portland during the preseason. They annoy players. They annoy fans. They annoy everybody. Doc Rivers is a whiner. Chris Paul complains a lot. Even with this DeAndre Jordan thing, Cubans, owners don't like it. I mean, everybody hates the Clippers. Everybody. I've never seen a team. I mean, teams that win all the time tend to draw, Patriots, Spurs, Yankees, Notre Dame back in the day, tend to draw the ire of other fan bases because they're jealous. They're just flat out jealous of them. But the Clippers is not about jealousy. This is just about hatred. This is about, we just don't like you. You are annoying. You are a nuisance. One last NBA thing. I almost forgot to mention this. Golden State embarrasses Houston. And the only thing that come out of this game to me is James Harden. James Harden has gone on this campaign ever since the end of last season about how he is the MVP, with all due respect to Steph Curry. Then we get to the playoffs in a game five where Houston's season is on the line. James Harden had 13 turnovers. Fast forward to Friday night at home against Golden State, defending champions, MVP in the building. You go 1-for-10 and 4-for-18 from the field. Like, enough already. You're not, like, enough. While Steph Curry is just toying with your defense. I mean, that's the thing about Houston. And normally, I'm not going too crazy about an October, November game. Golden State toyed with Houston last night. They toyed with Houston. Toyed with them. Like Golden State, like, you don't even belong in the same sentence as us as far as a contender. I mean, really. Like, you. Like, why? Like, you're the MVP? James Harden, you're the MVP? 1-for-10 from three-point range and three-point line in your building? You're the MVP. So I'm James Harden, enough already about this MVP thing. Take, you know, he's a top 6 or 7 player. He's a tremendous, one of the best offensive players in the league, and the number one guy on the team that, you know, could probably going to win 50 to 55 games. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll have NFL picks in a week 8. In the league, when no contract is guaranteed, we'll be right back. In the history of this show, since we've been doing picks, it's not a good week to pick games as far as some of these lines. I was not in love with some of these lines with the point. But I'll give you three games. We'll begin. We'll begin with Indianapolis and Carolina. Indianapolis, of course, coming in a brutal part of their schedule. They're going to face some heavyweight teams here and need to get back to 500. They're at 3-4-7. The Panthers are giving, they're giving Indianapolis 7.5 points. I'm taking the Colts with the points. Because I don't think Carolina is a big offensive team, to be honest with you. I think the Colts keep this game close. And I think this is a field goal game. I like the Colts to win the game, but I'll take Indianapolis with the points in game number one. Game number two. Detroit, Kansas City, in London. I normally would stay away from this game because I don't know the travel. These London games can sometimes be sloppy all over the place. But I figure, what's the difference? Because both these teams suck. So what's the difference in terms of it being a terrible game? Whether if the game was in America, I'll take Kansas City's a 3-point favorite. I will take Detroit to outright win the game. I don't trust Kansas City right now. I don't trust either one of these teams, but I do think top to bottom, Detroit probably has better personnel at the skill positions. I'll take Detroit to just outright win the game. Forget about the points. Kansas City is favored, but I like Detroit to outright win this game. So take the points and Detroit to win this game, this matchup in the third in London. Game number three, Houston and Tennessee. Houston is a 4.5-point favorite. And frankly, despite having many people consider to be the dominant defensive player, if not one of the best players in the league, J.J. Watt, the Houston defense is an absolute joke. I like Tennessee in this game. Even with a backup quarterback, I like Tennessee in this game. Houston has just been one of two or three worst teams in the NFL this year. Even if they were favored by 1 point, I would take Tennessee in this game. So give me Tennessee and the points. So, game number one, Indianapolis with the points. Indianapolis with the points, but the Panthers to win the game. Game number two, I'll take Detroit and the points and the 3 points. And in game number three, I'll take Tennessee to win the game and give me the points as well. So with the points, answer out, just outright win the game. So there's your week eight picks on the league where no contract is guaranteed. We'll be right back. (347) 215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Joe Quinn. Programming note, we will be doing a show next week, our bi-weekly NFL football show, fantasy football show with Chad Quinn and Robert Sapp, Chad Quinn next week, so stay tuned for that. We are also coming up on show number 500 for this program. So that is coming up towards the latter part of December. Matter of fact, it could be the last show of 2015. So if I can navigate that, I will. If it has to be the beginning of 2016, we'll do that as well. But anyway, we're coming up on show number 500 for 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Joe Quinn. We began the program talking about Temple football. And, you know, Temple, again, known for its basketball, John Chaney, you know, the whole bit, top 10 program all time in terms of wins in college basketball history. Football, kind of one of those things that just, I guess, was just a part of the budget in terms of the Temple athletic department, in terms of Temple athletics. Now they have a legit football team that's ranked. They have a tremendous defense. You have a deal with Under Armour in terms of apparel. Under Armour right now is, outside of Nike, might be the best top apparel wear in the country. They have make some very comfortable apparel. As I throw them a plug, with no compensation. But there have been whispers, not whispers, but there have been rumblings that a new football state on campus facility could be coming in the next couple of years. 35,000 seat, $100 million. Though I have read some reports that it's not locked, set in stone, but it could be on the horizon. So the Temple program right now is at an all time high, and again, for the first time ever in the history of the school, they are at the center, at least for a night and for a day, of the college football universe. They are the only game in town, in terms of Philadelphia right now. You have a situation where you are taking on a college football royalty in Notre Dame, certainly one of the winningest programs in the history of college football, and taking on a very good Notre Dame team that only has one loss. The loss to Clemson is ranked number 9. It still has playoff hopes set in their sights. This is very much a winnable game for Temple. Notre Dame is not, by any stretch of imagination, a dominant football team. And if we haven't learned anything by watching college football this season, it is the gap between the supposed great teams, top teams, versus the middle teams and some of these other teams that may be even unranked is not that big. We've seen top teams like Ohio State, TCU struggle, even LSU struggle against teams that you thought that they would just run over. Temple would not surprise me in the least bit if Temple won this game. I expect them to cover. Their spread is 11. They're going to cover. I think this is going to be a very, very close game. Temple has a great defense. They don't turn over the ball. We know what Notre Dame is. I mean, Notre Dame has pros up and down the board. They have a first round wide receiver. They have a very good defense especially with the pass rush. But again, Notre Dame is not, this is not the 88 Notre Dame team. This is not a dominant Notre Dame team. This is not a Notre Dame team where that just blows you away, overwhelms you with their talent. They're very good. They deserve to be ranked in the top 10, but it certainly would not surprise me in the least bit if the Temple Owls came out here at the link and took Notre Dame out. Would not surprise me. And again, if Temple were to win this game, they have certainly an outside chance to get, if they were to run the table, to be one of the four teams in the BCS playoff. Sounds crazy, but I'm telling you right now, that conference, that the AAC, is a very good conference right now. They have three teams that are ranked, along with Temple. You have Memphis and Houston. All are undefeated. All are ranked. Memphis has a win over Ole Miss. Houston's been playing great. So, Temple wins this game and takes out, takes out Houston. Again, don't be surprised. Do not be shocked if they are playing in the BCS playoff. Unlikely, but don't be surprised. Don't be surprised by it. That's going to wrap it up for this day's edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. Thanks for joining the program. Again, catch the archive replay of this particular episode anytime at www.blogtalkradio.com/CyrilQuinn. Go to iTunes.apple.com and look up 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. Or go to Instagram at RealGerildQuinn. Have a great, great weekend. Enjoy the games. I'll see you next time.